1248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And all
CBS News brief. More than two dozen members of a construction crew in Los Angeles have been rescued after an underground tunnel partially collapsed. CBS's Carter Evans.
They lowered four other workers underground, and they were able to get in a vehicle and drive up to the debris and get to these workers who were trapped.
The death toll up to at least 120 in the Texas flooding. More than 170 people are still missing. CBS's Karen Hua is in Kerr County.
Governor Abbott says they won't stop until they find every single missing person. So we still hear helicopters flying up ahead. We still see boat rescue crews, ATVs, canines, drones.
A great big deal in the breakfast biz.
Bring out the tiger!
Tigers start their day with a great taste of Frosted Flakes.
Ferrero, maker of Nutella, plans to buy Kellogg for $3.1 billion. Cereal maker shares up 30%. And the NASDAQ notched a new high at the open. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Melissa Kay. The effects of foreign aid on international relations may sound like a daunting title for a Tuesday night presentation at the local library, but Greg St. Arnold of Milwaukee brought a group of close to 30 people together with alacrity.
I want you to find somebody you don't know and just go introduce yourself and say hi. So let's stand up.
When Greg quieted the room, he asked everyone to say to each other, "Thank you for sharing your country with me." He said there are a few things in U.S. history that we can reflect on with pride. Some of those include the efforts we have historically made to improve conditions in other countries and our relationships with them as we all live on this one planet. The hour-long presentation covered Greg's journey from studying abroad in Kenya to working as a congressional staffer for Russ Feingold, teaching for 8 years in the U.S., to his work with the Jesuit Refugee Service in Africa, where he eventually became the Director of Education for JRS in multiple countries. His knowledge and experience with how foreign aid is utilized has given him unique insight into why it's important.
There's three reasons why we should all support foreign aid. Number one is that it makes us safer. As Americans. Another way that it makes us safer is by stabilizing unstable situations or unstable areas.
Greg said the third reason is that if U.S. aid, funding, resources, and influence are lost, other countries will step in to fill the vacuum.
It was both smart strategically and it was a good thing to do. It was the right thing to do for the United States to be engaged in kind of helping build and stabilize these types of places. And we've just kind of walked away from it.
What can we do now? Greg said talk to people about why foreign aid is good. Figure out their concerns, such as national security or growing markets worldwide, and how foreign aid helps those efforts. And support good programs. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News. Real news and great conversation.
Partly cloudy today with a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm this afternoon. Our high today in the low 80s. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms, low right around 65. Tomorrow, thunderstorms likely with a high of 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. We appreciate y'all joining us. Thank you so much for the time. We're going to have some fun this morning in this hour, getting into a little bit of entertainment news. Got some other fun topics for you a little bit later. But it is a Thursday in the 10 o'clock hour. We all know what that means. It is time for our Pet of the Week with the Southland County Humane Society. We have Denise with us. We want to send a big shout out to Milltown Coffee sponsoring this segment. A big thank you to them. And actually, Denise, if you don't mind, I'd like to start there because you just came from there.
I did, yeah. I wanted everyone to
understand how wonderful their coffee is, so I stopped by there on my way and brought it in for you all.
Very nice. Thank you.
I really appreciate that, Denise. It's above and beyond. That's very sweet. I've been dying to try it, so thank you for that.
It's good coffee. They do very good work over there.
Big shout out to them, everybody. Buy local, support local, support those that support our nonprofits and our community and our station here. And I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Denise, how are things going over at the shop?
Really, really good. It's crazy. Height of kitten season. We're taking in dogs and cats, and we have puppies. We got two new puppies we have six pity puppies. Two were unspoken for. I was going to bring them today, but they are having their spay neuters this morning.
That definitely comes first.
Yeah, right.
And Seth and I would have no idea how to handle that. No idea. It's much better. It's a very smart
move by your
partner.
No thanks. I'll avoid that.
No, I'd let them go. I'd be the worst. I'd be the worst at that. There's no way I could ever do that. When it comes to things over there, as far as things have settled down for the animals now, the construction and the fourth is over, and everything.
Yep, it's much better. Things are calming down. The animals are getting out. They're not afraid anymore. It's wonderful.
Nice.
You know, given where you guys are located, and for those who don't know, 3621 64th Street North, kind of on the outway of town, a little bit and everything. I love the location, the building and such. But given that location, do they have a lot of troubles with the 4th? Did they have a lot of fireworks sound or anything?
It wasn't too bad. I mean, the acoustics were such that the dogs weren't too bothered. Some of the ones that are a little more sensitive, they gave them, calming things so they could, sleep through the night. Okay. But it wasn't too terrible.
I'm really happy to hear that.
Yeah.
I used to worry about it a lot more with the old location.
I know.
I don't know that this was an intention of it, but I love when added positives happen with things. Right. And here's an added positive of having a building in that particular area.
Absolutely. Right across from the cemetery, it's perfect.
Yeah,
nice and quiet.
Really, yeah. Exactly. I wouldn't have thought of that, but that's really interesting. Really good to hear that. And I always like to check in and see if there are things we can help with, things that you guys need a little bit more than others.
Yeah, we're still looking for cat litter. I'm running short on that. We just had a big load of pellets delivered, and that's what we use as litter for the kittens, but the other cats, we have a lot of adult cats. That's actually going to be my animal of the week too. Litter, keep it coming.
Right on. Good to know. And certainly that's one of those things we'd like to always remind people of and that's a need. Anything involving cats or kittens, I would think that is a big one right there. Especially if you're just at the store and you're in the moment trying to grab something. Those are always good things to grab. And again, you can always reach out to the Humane Society and find out more about your in particular needs, of course, if you need to.
Correct.
And we'll tell you how you can do that in a minute. Today, we are getting into our National Day of Calendar and had a couple of things for that. Today is Pina Colada Day, so enjoy that. And it's also National Kitten Day.
Oh, excellent. I didn't know that.
So I did want to mention, and just talking about kittens and cats in general, because I don't know about anybody else, but especially here in Rapids, I have noticed a huge influx in rabbits. There's a lot of rabbits.
Mm-hmm. There are.
They had a busy winter. there's just more than I think I've ever seen before, and a lot of tinier ones. I saw something the other day where I saw a cat and rabbit, and I don't think they were playing, but I also don't think they were trying to hurt each other necessarily, because they both had opportunities and did not take them.
Really? Wow.
So I think they were trying to just figure each other out a little bit.
That could be. Like, what are you? You smell funny.
I don't think we've been working together a little while, Denise. Yeah. I don't know if you know this about me. I for years, my palate cleanser at the end of the day or whatever, I like watching different animal combinations, a bear and a lion that are friends or something. It entertains me. Seeing this in real time, in real life and everything just blew me away. But it also reminded me, Denise is going to be in the other day. We should talk about cats in the summer. We talk a lot about the winter.
Yes.
And how they can go into engines or hide under cars for warmth.
Yes.
In the summer, I don't think we think about it as much, but I know my parents' neighbors have a cat that does that almost every morning. I got to look under my Jeep and make sure.
Yes.
So in the summer, it can be a thing as well. Sometimes even just getting a shade from the heat.
Right. They go a lot of places because they don't sweat. They have to pant and they lose heat through their paws. And if you take them for walks on the hot pavement or the black pavement, it's like 100 onwards of 120 degrees, and it can burn there. So they do seek shade under your vehicle, under So always check before you move your vehicle.
And when you are taking your furry friends out, especially when it comes to dogs, considering those things, I can only imagine how silly it might look to the neighbors or to people, but whether it's me or my dad, when it gets to a certain, like we usually in the high 70s or anything above 80, my parents' deck, they got a nice deck, but it gets hot.
Oh, yeah.
So I will pick Sam up and just carry him 5 feet and, you know, drop him on the grass and stuff before, because those paws. He's such a good dog, and he doesn't complain about anything, but you will see him sitting there just licking his paws for almost an hour because they hurt and they're sore.
Yep.
Just doing those little things, it can go so much farther for an animal.
Absolutely, yeah, and it's so nice that you carry him to the grass.
I should mention as well, by the way, everybody, keep an eye out. If Disney or Pixar try to steal the whole cat and rabbit thing, that's mine.
That was yours.
That's mine. Yep. That's mine, all right?
They're listening.
We heard it.
You know Disney is always listening to make sure to see if they can sue you, first of all. But then, that's a good idea.
Well, I want my cut. I want my cut. That's all I'm saying. We have made the audience wait long enough. Denise, who is our pet of the week?
We're going to go with a beautiful gray tabby called Post Meow Loan. He came in. I know. We have a kooky office coordinator that comes up with these awesome names.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're great.
This cat loves, and like Becca puts it, tummy time. The minute you go to touch him, he goes on his back and he's like, and he writhes around and he's the friendliest, most wonderfully calm cat. He's like medium size. They believe he's pretty young, like 2 years old. Gray tabby. He's already been neutered, had all his shots. He's ready to go, but so sweet. I was going to bring him with me today, but didn't work out.
Does look like a very sweet cat.
He is. Loves attention, loves affection, just great.
Beautiful brown eyes. Yeah. Was it Axel that you brought in the other day?
Yeah.
Axel was a little bigger.
Yeah, just a little.
This looks a little medium or more, but I don't want to say normal size, but you know, kind of what you
medium,
typically
not
see.
Large, chunky, and not a little kitten. So yeah, he's normal.
Looks very sweet too.
He is just unbelievably sweet.
And now he's got all of his checks and
balance
and all that.
He
and
does.
Everything.
Yeah, he came to us neutered already as a stray. So he's
nice.
He had his vet appointment, and we gave him updated vaccines. He's ready to go.
With him being a stray, I don't know if know some of the details about him, but certainly there are plenty of I don't want to say the important stuff, but the major things we can definitely check off the box as far as his chip and being neutered and that.
Correct. Yep. He is updated on vaccines and microchipped, ready to go, healthy.
I kind of like him already more than Post Malone, to be honest. I kind of do. Post me alone. Be sure to check.
Hilarious if he's like really. That'd be funny.
Awesome. No face tattoos. I noticed no face tattoos.
None that we can see anyway.
I like that. We encourage you to find out also about Post and all these other great animals over at the South Oconee Humane Society. Your new best friend is waiting for you over there. We encourage you to reach out to them about the animals and find your perfect new best friend. Also know that you can help out with there, even if you're not able to donate an animal or adopt an animal. Mm-hmm. You can reach out to them anytime at office@swchs.com. That's where you can email them. Give them a call, 715-423-0505. You can find them on Facebook. Encourage you to do that. Subscribe to their page and share their posts on your page. You don't know who might see it otherwise.
Right.
And be sure to know that you can stop by. The building's up and running. Things are all, the construction's all done and all
Correct.
Of that. 3621 64th Street North, right here in Rapids. You can find all this information at their website, swchs.com. Be sure to bookmark that page and be listening next Thursday for another Pet of the Week with Denise and our friends at the South Oconee Humane Society. Thanks a lot for hanging out, Denise.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Guys, and I haven't thanked you enough about the coffee. Like, this is a morning show.
It's pleasure.
It's perfect.
I figured it's a little late, but still.
No.
Good.
Him and I got a couple more hours yet. It's going to come to the end.
Good.
We appreciate you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Anytime.
And a big thank you, of course, to Milltown Coffee. We appreciate them sponsoring this segment. We'll take a quick time out. We'll come back with some entertainment news on the morning show at WFHR.
Get ready to experience Milltown Coffee Company, where they'll delight your taste buds with a delicious selection of breakfast and lunch options, a full espresso and coffee menu, and irresistible ice cream. Explore their charming retail and gift area, and enjoy their inviting outdoor seating, which is not only dog-friendly, but also features freshly baked dog treats, perfect for your furry companions. Join them for exciting special evening events and a vibrant weekly farmers market that brings the community together. Milltown Coffee Company, opening May 2025.
When you speed while driving, you have less time to react to whatever comes across your path. Another car could turn out in front of you. A large truck could brake suddenly. a pedestrian could be walking their dog and you won't even have time to course correct. The speed limit doesn't just protect you, it protects everyone around you. So slow down, obey the law, and just keep everyone on the road safe. Speed catches up with you. Paid for by NHTSA.
Weddings are an exciting time, but they can be a lot of work and stress too. Let Belinda with the Bride Secretary custom design your wedding invitations that will make a statement and provide secretarial services that will reduce your stress. Custom invitations and stationery for weddings or any special occasion. You don't just need stationery, you need a secretary.
For more information, call Belinda at 715-340-2999 or visit thebridesecretary.com.
The day you become one with your partner is truly a special day for every couple. The Wisconsin Rapids Rafters want to add to your memories with their July 12th Renew Your Vows event. Bring your significant other as historic Winterfield is turned into the largest wedding in Wisconsin Rapids. Explore the wedding show displays throughout the concourse, bachelor, bachelorette party games, and a post-game vow renewal ceremony on home plate. Renew your vows with the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, July 12th at 6:35 p.m. at historic Winterfield.
Showers and storms sparking this afternoon, continuing through this evening, and becoming heavy overnight. Torrential downpours could cause some flash flooding. Gusty winds are possible too, and the rain won't quit. Coming in waves for Friday and Saturday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 75 degrees.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. Gigantic shout out to our friend Denise from the South County Humane Society, talking with us, sharing with us Post Me Alone. Meow Alone.
What a name. Love it.
I kind of turned it into French.
You did. Meow Alone.
I didn't mean to do that. Find out about this great cat and more of these great animals over at the South County Humane Society. And just as importantly, find out ways that you can help out and be a part of things over there. They're doing some really vital work. We appreciate them. And we appreciate the coffee, Denise. Big thank you to Milltown Coffee, sponsors that segment. We greatly appreciate them. I have been dying to try their coffee. I'm going to try it for the first time on the air here.
Let's try it. I say it's good.
That's nice.
It's a really nice flavor to it. So I
was telling Denise, when I'm trying a coffee for the first time, I just want it black.
Right.
I don't need anything. I just want it to be able to actually taste the coffee.
Right.
I love the taste of coffee. That tastes good.
That is good.
That is a nice, an original taste too.
Yes.
I was trying to pin
it to like one of the more, you know, big brands like Starbucks or Caribou, something like that. No. This is different. This has its own little thing to it. So, yeah.
100%. That's got to be tough to do, I would think.
Well, because they're all using like coffee beans, you know? Yeah. That's only so much you can do. But, yeah, it's great.
That's really good stuff. Listening next Thursday for another opportunity to hear our Pet of the Week with the South County Humane Society. And again, thanks to Milltown Coffee.
Yep.
We dive into some entertainment news now. We got a double shot of Spielberg for you, everybody.
All right. double shot of Spielberg.
I honestly didn't mean to do this. I just happened to have two different stories and was putting these things together this morning. And it was like 10 minutes. Minutes before Seth came in, and I'm like, oh, I guess I kind of put two Spielberg stories together.
Yeah, well, that's
what goes. The problems on the set of Jaws are legendary.
Sure.
There has been almost as much talked about that as, especially at this point, I think the lore and the stories of the behind the scenes are bigger than the movie.
It's gotten to be that way. And because it was such a game changer, it literally shifted Hollywood to a whole new model of doing business. And because it was so important, people wanted to know, right? It's like, well, how did this get made? How did all this happen? And then they realized, wow, they had a lot of problems on the set. My goodness.
Next week, Seth and I are going to be diving into the summer blockbuster and going over from the early 70s to now. But this was really the biggest, to Seth's point, it's the biggest game changer in summer movies history.
Right.
So much so that I don't know that we've seen some lulls. But even with that, we're back to it now where what's happening this July.
Yep.
You've got the biggest movies of the year coming out this month. So even if it's not on technically 4th of July weekend, July is still the summer blockbuster
it's
movie
still the month
yep. and everything.
You got it.
And Spielberg really got that started. And one of my favorite directors, one of the world's favorite and best directors. And also, like a lot of us, those of us of the Jewish faith, really close with our mothers. and very, very. So the problem problems on the set of Jaws were so bad that Steven was calling his mom constantly.
Oh, no.
There's a new documentary airing tonight on Nat Geo called Jaws at 50, The Definitive Inside Story.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to have to watch that one, man.
That's, the look and the sound you just made was what I did this morning when I read that.
I don't know if I mentioned this before, but sometimes I'm more fascinated by the making of any movie than actually watching the movie.
100%.
And I've seen Jaws, of course, but I totally want to see this. Looks so interesting. Yeah.
You know, Apocalypse Now is an incredible movie to
it
watch.
Even to this day,
2025, that holds up. It's a very difficult movie to watch. It's very well done.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Sheen at his best.
Yes.
And all that. And even in a warped out Brando, it's still Brando.
It's still Brando.
It's still incredible work by him and everything. All that being said, Heart of Darkness is way better. Heart of Darkness is insane. The making of that movie.
Yeah, because it caught so much interesting stuff about what was going on. Yeah.
And that's to me, if I'm making almost any movie, I don't care what, indie movie, blockbuster, whatever, I've got somebody, I'm paying somebody on the side to be filming.
Mm-hmm.
To be filming the making of this.
Yep.
You never know what might turn up. Hey, you get no good footage, nothing out of it. Nobody knows. Nobody cares. Pay the intern or whatever and move on.
Yeah.
If you get good material, if you've got something there, you got two movies.
Right.
You got two movies. I don't know.
Well, and that really started, if I remember correctly, the first time I really, deliberately doing that, I mean, Lucas did some of that when he did the prequels, not the original films, but the prequels. But that was Peter Jackson with Lord of the Rings. He documented everything they did and turned it into some really fascinating material.
More on him in a moment, and Seth does not know. I try to give Seth and Melissa a heads up on a couple of stories that we're doing, and then the other stories I like to get their initial first reactions of.
Yep.
So Seth doesn't know what's coming up. We have a Peter Jackson story coming up.
Oh, my gosh.
That's funny. That's funny.
Even awesome. That's more awesome.
And Spielberg said, quote, during this documentary that is going to be airing tonight on Nat Geo, I talked to my mom a lot. I was talking to my mom kind of like, Mommy, this is really important. Possible help. Spielberg says he never wanted to quit, but he was constantly worried he was going to get fired. He really felt like this was not only going to be his last film, his name would not even be on the end credits.
To get an idea of how, I mean, he's a young director. He's only directed a few things. They have given him the mandate. Now make this an amazing film. And then he's got all these problems. I can't imagine what he was feeling. I mean, the anxiety and the fear and I'll constantly, oh my God.
As a part of Mr. Slaby's class, shout out to Lincoln High School's alums out there. One of the things that he gave us a chance to do was watch Spielberg's college submission, his thesis and everything.
Yep. His thesis film, right.
And it's about these people make like a road trip. It's nothing too crazy. It's filmed out in California and everything. It's nothing too crazy. But you see little glimpses here and there of his angle or his editing choices and some of that.
Where he's going to go, right? Yeah.
And I'll never, ever forget being in that class and watching this film and being like, wow, he was this good at this age. And then there's a scene where he is filming with his camera on top of a mountain, the car go by. And as he's filming it, you can see his shadow clear as day in the shot. And just the car going and all that. And it's
love it.
It's directing 101.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Mistake,
and this is his thesis. He's doing this.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love Martin Scorsese. I like a lot of directors, man. A lot of directors. I don't know I've ever seen a more complete, better director than Steven Spielberg. I don't know that I ever will. With the body of work he has, going from Jaws to The Color Purple to Schindler's List to just et cetera, et cetera. The body of work this man has and his connection to human beings is like nothing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
As good as Scorsese is, Scorsese gets people, certain types of people. I think Spielberg gets everybody.
Yeah.
And his work is that kind of good to me. He's not my favorite director, but I think he's the most complete director I've ever seen.
Right.
And he was making mistakes, you know.
He's got to learn somewhere, right?
Yeah, such a good lesson for a young creative, have, and it's something that he really embodies. Like he works with a lot of young filmmakers. He's very into the growing the filmmaking industry into something that's not just a corporate, safe thing,
right?
To use his words, safe thing. Because that's not filmmaking. Filmmaking's not supposed to be safe. It's not supposed to be
risky.
You're supposed to be trying to do something different.
Yep.
He is so supportive of that stuff and so self self-deprecating, then it makes some sense that he would be reaching out to his mom, Leah Adler, who was a wonderful woman, and she passed away back in 2017. And a lot of talk about Jaws, not only because of Shark Week coming up and everything, but the 50th anniversary of it and that. So
just remarkable, yeah.
Did have this other one that I thought was incredibly interesting, Seth.
Okay.
So when this movie came out, at the time, there were quite a few people that felt like this should be nominated for a Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Jaws had come out in 2025, it would be nominated for a Best Picture.
Even as a blockbuster, right?
Yep. Because that's what they're doing now. They got 10 nominees, and you always see a couple of them in there that you have has no chance of winning, but it's in there for eyeballs.
Acknowledgement, too. Yeah, it's
acknowledgement, right.
But, I mean, you're right. It's also to draw people there, but it's to say, you know, hey, this movie was important. We'll throw it up there, right?
It's okay for it to be a little column A, a little column B.
Sure.
I think in this situation especially, where it does both things we just said there, and that's cool for all parties.
Yeah.
Well, Spielberg admits he was let down when he wasn't nominated for Best Director for Jaws, but only because everyone kept telling him it was going to happen.
Oh, really?
Quote, I just understood, I guess I'm getting nominated. So when I wasn't, I was surprised and I was disappointed because I was believing the noise, and you have to not believe that stuff.
Right. Another lesson learned, right?
Jaws was nominated for Best Picture, but it lost to One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and Spielberg approves of that decision. In fact, quote, I don't think that Jaws should have been nominated for Best Picture.
Really?
I would have voted for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest for over Jaws, he said.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, he's being honest. I appreciate that.
Jaws was a good movie. And again, everything Seth and I just said about it and everything. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest to this day is one of the better movies you'll ever see.
It's a classic. It's a legendary film. And it deserved to win.
Until it happens, or if it ever happens, one of my dream roles will be McMurphy. It's always going to be. As a kid seeing that movie on WGN, man, that movie changed a lot of things for me. That ending is etched in my brain. It's such a good movie. I like what he said there. I don't think that it's anything surprising. I don't think anybody would disagree with him.
No.
But it's not always something that's we hear from directors.
Yeah.
There was one other thing, and there was Peter Jackson. Peter Jackson will always be associated with Lord of the Rings.
Of course.
But maybe we should start looking at him in the Jurassic Park world.
Huh?
His latest project involves reviving an extinct species. But it's not a dinosaur, not the T-Rex.
Oh, goodness.
Peter and his partner, Fran Walsh, have partnered with a company called Colossal Biosciences to genetically engineer birds that are similar to the South Island giant moa. The moa is the largest species of bird ever known to exist. It was flightless, of course. They say it was flightless, of course, because we all know about the moa. Everybody, it's common knowledge.
If it's a certain size, I guess it's impossible for it to fly. But yeah,
and it went extinct around the year 1500. We all remember that. You know, the news stories.
That was a long time ago. Wow.
Peter and Fran have donated $15 million to the effort. He says, quote, the movies are my day job and the moa are my fun thing I do. Every New Zealander school child has a fascination with the moa. I think while this is a funny American equivalent, because it's not an American animal, I think, Americans or even Europeans, you look at the dodo. And how popular the dodo can be and stuff for it, as far as extinct birds go.
Right, yeah.
There's no bird more popular than the dodo.
Right.
But with this, for New Zealanders, I think even for Australians, I've heard something similar to this, although I apologize for merging those worlds.
Don't do that.
They don't like that.
They do not like that.
But the moa is a little bit that equivalent over there. Just to, give this a little bit of weight. But, I mean, that's...
Hey, Pete! What movies are you working on?
Yeah.
Anyone? You got anything going in the thing here anymore? I thought you were a filmmaker.
Yeah. I feel like this would actually make a better film than real life. In fact, I have proof of it. We have 18 movies already of that. One of them just came out with Jurassic Park Rebirth.
Apparently, he does not learn anything from Nobs.
Right? Yes. Yeah.
You're not supposed to do that.
What are you talking about? I watched the first 10 minutes of Jurassic Park. I figured
it's a documentary.
Yeah.
Right? Everything. You're not supposed to do that.
I'm sure everything worked out. I don't need to finish it. What could go wrong? I think that obviously I say the heart of mine can't help but saying that $15 million could go to a lot of things to help out a lot of people, especially in areas like New Zealand where they've had some wildfires and different problems like that and everything. I also, for one of the most intelligent people I've ever seen in entertainment. I do think that of Peter Jackson.
I agree.
I can't think of a dumber thing to do than trying to bring back an extinct animal. In a perfect world, sure, sounds cool. Sounds great. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. It also sounds like one of the most selfish things you're going to hear in your life, because it's not about the animal. Mm-mm. It's about this person, whether they realize it or not, wanting to bring back this animal and wanting to have the notoriety or something like that, mm-hmm. or just even getting it done through their own vision. Once that moa died off, that last moa died off, or that last yep. dodo died off, the food chain, it didn't just leave that link open.
No.
It connected.
Yeah.
It made it work over hundreds and hundreds of years sometimes mm-hmm. to get that chain solid again.
Right.
So ecosystems could work with other ecosystems and all of these things. You throw the animal back into the food chain, it not only mucks up the whole thing, it would probably make another animal extinct.
Right.
And we're back where we started. Where now we got to bring back the you know, yellow-belly sapsucker or something.
Right.
I just wanted to say yellow-belly sapsucker.
Which is a comedy gold. They got to throw that one out there.
Thank you, Honeymooners.
How about this, Peter Jackson? How about instead of bringing back, how about keeping species from becoming extinct in the first place? How about even better? Let's fix the planet. Let's work climate change stuff. How about that? Then we can save everything.
I bet you that $15 million, there's a lot of people that could do some good with that.
Seriously.
Yeah. it's all well and good. It makes a good story. Mm-hmm. It makes it, and I don't think anybody would be unempathetic of the idea if he was in an interview talking about wanting. Sure. I'd love if this animal was still around, you know?
Yep.
But I see a number like $15 million and the efforts being put into this, and it just seems like, I'm sorry, and I don't know if we're.
Seems like a waste to me.
It really is, yeah. And yeah. That's a really smart guy there doing it, yeah. too, which is just mind-boggling.
Then he made a lot of money, and then, I don't know. We know what that does to people.
Yeah, it's very true. So. Very true. Wanted to remind everybody that our great friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater have some great teen shows going on throughout the summer.
Mm-hmm.
They've had some really good ones. Dare to Dream was great. Heard mm-hmm. wonderful things about it. You got the Brothers Grimm, a speculathon coming up in... or that was good. That's coming up in August.
That's Hopo,
coming
yep.
up in August. But right around the corner... In fact, premiering tonight,
yes,
West Side Story.
Yes.
We had them in earlier. Susan mm-hmm. Becker was with us. We got to hang out with her and some of the kids. This is a classic, and Seth has been a part of this show. In
yep.
fact, he got a nice shirt on with it
I
right
did.
Now.
I got a nice shirt out of it, yeah.
Seth, how is the cast? How is everybody feeling after last night and that final rehearsal?
It's great. I know that last night they did it as good as they have. For sure, they've really
so cool,
they're peaking right now at the exact time they need to peak, and I can guarantee the next several nights are going to have just fantastic shows. I do know that tonight and Sunday they don't have a lot of tickets left. Just to let you know about that, if you are planning on coming, everyone, that tonight and Sunday those are pretty full, but we still have plenty of tickets available for Friday and Saturday. So if you are planning on coming, look at that, because then you can go online wrctheater.org and you can pick your seats and you know wherever you want to sit. But I can guarantee one thing, it's the kids do a fantastic job, and you will enjoy yourselves with this classic musical. You know the songs, you know the songs, everyone. I mean, there are many of them, maybe not all of them, but some you've heard many times mm-hmm. before, and they do a great job. So we do invite you to come on down.
Every one of these kids is amazing. It's a flawless cast.
Yep.
And I cannot encourage you enough to not only hear these songs like you've never heard them before, because mm-hmm. you probably haven't heard teenagers actually singing.
That's
it.
Right.
It's such great. But it's, of course, buying local and supporting local, mm-hmm. and that includes the arts. I had a meeting, for those that don't know, I'm directing on Golden Pond this year, the opening stage of the main, opening show of the main stage, and I met with Gretchen and Beth. Bethany earlier, I got to say Bethany, because otherwise
don't confuse people. Yeah.
Right. We met with our stage designer and creator mm-hmm. and everything, and we were talking about that. And Gretchen, at the end of it, was like, "Oh, do you want to see the set for West Side?" I'm like, "Oh my God, yeah!" And go over there, and I thought I knew what to expect. I was so blown away.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a cool set. I don't want to spoil anything for anybody, but the gating and
yeah.
the
we actually have chain link fences.
Yeah,
on the stage,
really cool.
Which is really cool.
It's
yeah,
a nice layer. Yep. They did a great job with that set. That set is going to be another great piece to
right.
this. Everybody.
And I want to give a shout out to so many of the parents who helped put all this together. And without them doing this, painting and getting everything set, big shout out to the parents for this, too.
Check out West Side Story tonight. It premieres tonight, July 10th, going on tonight at 7. Mm-hmm. They'll have a show tomorrow at 7. And then on Saturday, they'll have a show at 7 o'clock.
Yep.
And then on Sunday at 2 o'clock matinee.
To wrap it up, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get your tickets at WRCtheater.org. Buy local, support local, support the arts, everybody, and take in as many of these shows as you can. Mm-hmm. All shows taking place over at the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. And we're just about an hour and a half away from a new edition of the WFHR newsletter showing up in your email
box.
That's
right. Yeah.
Get on over to WFHR.com. Sign up for that newsletter. Support local, support the great work that this team is doing around here. A shout out to everybody involved, of course, mm-hmm. Especially Melissa working so hard on
Very
this
hard
one.
Working on
we
that.
We got so many great civic media writers and Michael and Laura and so many other people mm-hmm. and Chuck putting in work into these articles. Really appreciate all the work by everybody.
Yep.
Get on over to WFHR.com. Sign up for that newsletter. Your one-stop shop for all Central Wisconsin news.
All right.
We'll come back after our news break. We'll have some more fun. Got a good one coming up for you. The best classic arcade games.
Oh, can't wait. So exciting.
And we want your answers for these. We want your best arcade games, everybody. Coming up on The Morning Show.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Members of Wisconsin's Urban Search and Rescue Task Force, known as Wisconsin Task Force 1, or Wisconsin TF1, headed to Texas earlier this week to assist with search efforts following devastating flooding in portions of the state. Joanne Krulatz reports.
Five members of Wisconsin TF1, as well as three canines, left Wisconsin Tuesday morning from the regional All-Climate Training Center located at Volk Field in Camp Douglas. The team also brought specialized equipment to assist with search efforts, including a utility all-terrain vehicle and medical supplies. The Texas Division of Emergency Management made the request through the Emergency Management Assistance Compact, which is a nationwide mutual aid system. They requested Wisconsin TF1 for 14 days, but the request may be shortened or lengthened based on need. Wisconsin TF1 includes members from fire departments across the state and limited-term employees of the REACT Center. The members that were deployed were from the REACT Center and the Green Bay, Janesville, and Menominee fire departments.
The first woman to serve as a circuit court judge in Wood County has been appointed by Governor Tony Evers. Emily Nolan Plachek will fill the vacancy on the Wood County Circuit Court Branch 3, created by Judge Todd P. Wolf's retirement. Nolan Plachek will complete a term ending July 31, 2026. She has nearly two decades of experience working in Wood County and the surrounding area. Sheriff Sean Becker applauded the appointment, saying that as an attorney, Nolan Plachek earned his trust because of her integrity, her legal ability, her deep involvement in Wood County, and the fact that she is an honest, straightforward individual who treats everyone respectfully. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The crew celebrates a sweep. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers with a day off before hosting the Nationals tomorrow night. The crew celebrating a sweep of the Dodgers with a 3-2 victory yesterday in extra innings. Jose Quintana had a no-hitter going until late in the fifth, facing a Dodgers lineup like Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman.
They are really good. You know, I just try to control the count, you know, and they do really well, you know, especially when two strikes, they don't chase too much. So they really discipline in the home plate, especially the three guys.
The Dodgers have now lost six in a row. Manager Dave Roberts.
Today was frustrating to lose. I thought the way we competed, couldn't put a crooked number up. You know, we had them where we wanted them, and we just couldn't finish it.
Then last night after the game, Pat Murphy announced.
Okay, we got good news. Trevor McGill has been named to the All-Star team. Fitting.
That's the Brewers' Pat Murphy with sports on Mike Clemens.
The day is here, the one you've planned and pictured in your mind 100 times. Guests arrive, soft music plays, and everything is falling into place. Today, you marry your best friend. At Distinctly Yours Wedding and Events, your celebration is designed to feel like you. Personal, thoughtful, and full of joy. Marcia and her team are with you every step of the way, making sure everything flows seamlessly so you can be present and take it all in. Because your wedding should be distinctly yours, down to the very last detail.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
The day you become one with your partner is truly a special day for every couple. The Wisconsin Rapids Rafters want to add to your memories with their July 12th Renew Your Vows event. Bring your significant other as historic Winterfield is turned into the largest wedding in Wisconsin Rapids. Explore the wedding show displays throughout the concourse, bachelor, bachelorette party games, and a post-game vow renewal ceremony on home plate. Renew your vows with the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, July 12th at 6:35 p.m. at historic Winterfield.
From newspaper to radio to magazine to podcast, the way we get our information has grown, and now so has Midday Magazine. Our longtime beloved show has grown to become the Rapids Report. Now exclusively available online, listen at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, where it's streaming at WFHR.com. Catch up on previous episodes and spread the word. Midday Magazine is now the Rapids Report, streaming weekdays at 4 at WFHR.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
Showers and storms, sparking this afternoon, continuing through this evening, and becoming heavy overnight. Torrential downpours could cause some flash flooding. Gusty winds are possible too, and the rain won't quit. Coming in waves for Friday and Saturday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 75 degrees.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you to Mr. Dan for playing us in. I like the idea of somebody thinking Steely Dan was like,
Donald the name
Faye.
Of a guy. What an odd name you have, Steely.
That's very odd. We appreciate you joining us, everybody. Thank you so much for hanging out. We got a couple of more, about 20 more minutes to hang out with you. We'll get into our schedule and some good stories of the day in a little bit.
Your everlasting summer, you can see it.
The rest of my life, man. That little segue right there will
love
get
it.
Me. Love that part. And we're going a little nostalgic right now because we're talking arcade games.
All right.
Now, people our age range and younger, Seth might start thinking if we talk video games, home video games. Games, you know, from everything from Atari to Sega to Nintendo, PS5s, right. All that stuff.
Right. We were that generation. Okay, so we weren't the first wave of arcades. Mm-mm. That was the late 70s and early 80s when they just exploded all over the United States. You couldn't, you know, turn a corner without running into an arcade. So much so that people were, of course, there was a panic about it. It's like, people are playing too many video games, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then there was kind of a crash there in the early 80s. And by the time we're aware, you know, of what's going on, it was Nintendo.
Yeah.
They came along and that changed the game for everything, you know, about home consoles. You know, I had a computer, a PC, so I had a lot of games on that too. Yeah. So it was a little bit different, but still it was all about home gaming. Now arcades were still around, you know, and it was always fun to go to an arcade, but I don't think it was quite the same experience that first generation had.
And I think the biggest difference in all the everything you said, just piggybacking on it, whether it was arcade games or PC games, the controller was specifically designed just to do this.
Right.
A PC was designed to do 100 other things.
Exactly.
Along with games.
Right.
Arcades, it was pretty much button, smash, you know, it wasn't
the stick and a couple buttons, right?
You know,
yeah.
It wasn't a whole lot of that. The controller, something designed specifically just to do this, to play video games, was such the big game changer for all of this. Having it at home was one thing, but whether it was the controller or like with Duck Hunt and you had an actual gun that you were shooting.
Yeah, the light zapper, yep.
But you were doing it in your basement. You were doing it in your living room.
Right.
Like, it was such a game changer. I don't know that if you compared TV, radio, video games, the home PC. I think video games ranks a lot higher. The video game system ranks a lot higher than we might realize.
I think so.
As far as impact on pop culture and all that.
Oh, absolutely. But the thing, real quick before we start this, the thing to remember, though, is that where did they get the games from? For the consoles? They got them from the arcade.
Yeah.
If it was a hit in the arcade, then they ported it to the home consoles, and that was still a big deal, even when, you know, the late 80s and the early 90s, that was still a thing.
I remember, I can't remember what, Pinball something it was called. There was a game for Nintendo, a right. pinball game.
Right.
And I remember my friends and I were rented it, we were playing it like crazy, mm-hmm. and my dad coming in and like, you know, there's like real pinball machines. You guys could actually be playing a real pinball machine. And we laughed them off and all
yeah,
that
sure, yeah.
and everything. It wasn't a big deal. Now we have games like The Sims and things like that.
Exactly.
Of people just living day-to-day real life, but through a sim, but through a game.
Through a simulation, right?
And no judgment on that. It's just that, yeah. that I was doing the same thing as a kid with pinball. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. yeah.
It's just funny how that evolves.
It is.
So so many of us have memories filled with the arcades and that. Even our generation, and even people here in town, shout out to the Gold Mine, the last arcade that I was in, and I think a lot of Rapids residents were in. They had it in the old mall there. The arcades, you know, went away. But there are actually people bringing them back. There mm-hmm. are actually a number of retro places that have video games things. And I think that's actually something that's going to get bigger and bigger.
There is at least two that I know of in Madison. I've been to one, and it was awesome. It was so much fun being able to
recently.
Do that.
Haven't you?
Like a couple years ago,
okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They have this great place in Madison even down to the feel. It feels like an old arcade. I was like, wow, this is amazing, yeah.
Ranker.com asked its readers to vote on the best old-school arcade games of all time, and
right.
here are the top 20. And, of course, we always encourage our audience participation. We want you guys to let us know what your favorite ones were, what you think were the best one was.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go through. There's a lot of these. And I think that some of these, I don't remember them being arcade games.
Right.
At number 20, Golden Axe. I remember that one.
That one was
a little bit.
Definitely an arcade game.
But then, like, the Simpsons arcade game at number 19, which I remember Ooh. Playing a little bit in the arcade, but also there was a home version.
There was, and they were different, but I liked the arcade version because it was very Simpson-y,
yes.
for lack of a better
yes.
term, about, you know, the characters and stuff. And I thought it was cool. It actually was pretty a fun game.
To the surprise of nobody, the number 19 on this list is probably my number one. I love that game.
Yes,
I love that game. Rampage at number 18.
Oh, that game was fun.
I take it back. Rampage was more fun.
Was it? Oh,
Rampage was more fun.
Already he's backtracking. I love it.
It was such a cool game. Yeah. It was such a simple game. You just
smash buildings.
Yeah. You want to be King Kong? No, I want to be King Kong.
Yeah, you know? I want to be or the lizard, you know, the big lizard, right?
And I don't think I gave its simplicity enough credit back in the day, because it's actually a really cool idea.
It is.
You just get to be a King Kong or Godzilla.
Yeah, knock buildings
or something
down,
like
right?
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. At number 17, a sneaky good one, 1942. Plane game.
You were an early shooter. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gauntlet at number 16. Oh.
Okay. Interesting story about Gauntlet. I first played that in the arcade or at somewhere on the arcade, and I loved the game. And there was a version for the Commodore, which is the computer that I had. That was the game that my mom and I played together.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Like the one game. I mean, we would play a few games together, but that was the one was our game, right? And it was like an endless game. I mean, I think we got up to level like 106 at one point.
Yeah.
And this was before like pausing and saving.
Yeah.
You just had to keep going.
Wow. I didn't think about that. Wow. That is impressive. Shout out to mom.
I know. It was like, wow.
That was one of the first ones I remember where you almost had to have other friends to play with.
Yeah, otherwise you're going to die.
Yeah.
It was an unforgiving game, absolutely.
I don't know if it was the first one, but it was the first one of its kind that I remember of the scrolling kind of like, you know, Lord of the Rings kind of stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
It had a fantasy vibe to it, right?
Yeah. And it, you know, now it's almost every one of these kind of games, but it was the really the blueprint of, okay, you need a mage, you need a warrior.
And the Lady Warrior, Valkyrie, or whatever they called it. Yeah.
Mario Brothers at number 15. I don't think of it as a arcade game. I think of it as such a home game.
And I think of they're talking about the original Mario Brothers, the single screen one.
Yeah.
Where they're together when you hit the turtles underneath and the crabs and stuff like that. Yeah.
I cannot imagine how many shoes Mario went through. I can't imagine. Defender at number 14. Forgot about that
Insanely hard game.
Yeah. Yeah.
That one was, if you were good at Defender, man, you were pretty good.
Centipede at number 13. Simple but fun game back in the
day. Here's
a
nice little tidbit about that one. The first hit video game designed by a woman.
Oh, yes.
Centipede.
I forgot about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great one.
Another, that could be a tough game, too.
Yeah. Double Dragon at number 12.
The first beat 'em up is what they're called. You know, basically, it's a side-scrolling game where you beat up a bunch of enemies as you go around with kicking and punching. You know,
one of the few that and Contra were some of the first games where I remember, even as a kid, playing these and being like, "Okay, they ran out of ideas." Like I think in Double Dragon, like you beat up a car for like an extra level or something. You just punched a car.
Is that or was
that it Street
I think
Fighter?
That, no, I think it was Double Dragon. Okay. They might have had it in Street Fighter 2, but I think it was originally Double Dragon.
Like I just remember beating up this car. Like, okay,
what am I doing?
Ran out of ideas here. At number 11, one of our, I think, nostalgic favorites, Dig Dug.
Love that game.
It's a great
game. That game was fun.
I purposely am doing this with The Simpsons and Rampage, and I take back Rampage and The Simpsons. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the arcade game. I think
another beat 'em up,
That may have been one of my favorites just because it always involved my friends.
Yes.
And the memories of that one aren't so much about the game, but me and like, who's going to be Donatello and, you know, and fighting over that
stuff. The idea of having like four different characters who could play at the same time, that was big.
Huge.
There were several games that were like that, and I loved every one of them.
I remember playing that a lot here in Rapids, and then when we went on a field trip in sixth grade to the Dells, and it rained, so we couldn't do half the stuff we wanted to. Me and like three guys went over to the arcade and played
TMNT.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. And you're so right about that. It was like a revolutionary game in that respect that you could play with all of those guys. At number nine, on a lot of these lists, the number one, Miss Pac-Man.
Yes, that was, I think, I still holds the record for the most, like, consoles sold.
Yes.
It was the highest selling game of all time.
Number eight, Asteroids, very similar to Centipede and some of those
Another
games.
Another hard
but
game.
But it was a lot tougher than it looked.
Wow, yeah.
Mortal Kombat at number seven, a bit of a game changer there with the fighter.
That and Street Fighter came out around the same time, and they were both really, they changed a lot of things, the fighting game,
There wasn't anything like it before.
No.
I think one of the biggest things about it was the graphics had evolved enough to where they could get
special moves. Remember, you could like do certain things to finish him, that kind of thing. That was, if you learn those tricks, you're like, whoa, that was cool.
Space Invaders at number six, similar to the other ones we've talked about. Frogger, very famous for just being a simple but a difficult
challenging
game.
very
challenging. Number four, Donkey Kong. I love
still
Donkey
one
Kong.
Of the best games ever.
I still love that.
That's still a fantastic game,
and brought us not only Donkey Kong but of course Mario,
Jumpman at the time.
Yeah,
until he got his name Mario. Yep.
To your point about Mortal Kombat, Seth, at number three, not Street Fighter, Street Fighter 2
was technically the one that was exploded. Yes, that is correct.
And just as much fun as well. I could never choose between those.
They
games.
Were both really good.
I thought they were
very
both
different in a lot of ways, but they were really good. Yeah.
Get over here, Hadouken. The Hadouken stays with me. I don't know why, but it stays with me. Galaga, number two.
Yes. Again, that was the one where you have your ship captured, and then you could get it back, and you'd have two ships and shoot
awesome.
At the same
it was
time.
Awesome. I forgot
that,
about that.
That was
cool.
Awesome, yeah.
And at number one, of course, it is Pac-Man.
Yes.
The first big game, everything we were saying about Jaws was summer blockbusters, you could say about Pac-Man in the video game world.
Fun little tidbit about Pac-Man. His original name was Puck-Man, and then they realized what kids do to consoles in arcades, and they're like, ooh, wait, we probably shouldn't do that.
Probably shouldn't do that. Not a good
idea. No Puck-Man. Pac-Man instead.
Plus, Miss Puck-Man would have sounded horrible. would have sounded
That's
horrible.
True.
It wouldn't have made no sense. It's funny to me how many people get into the argument of what's better, Miss Pac-Man or Pac-Man.
They're basically the same game.
I never understood that argument.
No,
I never
neither.
Got that.
No.
But what's your list? Let us know, everybody. We'd love to hear from you. Take a short break and come back and wrap up the show. Morning Show at WFHR.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Showers and storms, sparking this afternoon, continuing through this evening, and becoming heavy overnight. Torrential downpours could cause some flash flooding. Gusty winds are possible too, and the rain won't quit. Coming in waves for Friday and Saturday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 75 degrees.
Welcome back, everyone. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Hope you all had a good time. We sure did. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. It's been a fun show. Mm-hmm. Want to get into our schedule and some local events going on. We got a great Rapids report lined up for you today. Be sure to head on over to WFHR.com. I'd say anytime afternoon, maybe even before that, and we'll have that lined up for you. Be sure to be on the lookout because in part one, or our first interview today, we're going to be joined by UW Extension Wood County's own Ben Eberline.
Ben Eberline. Well, I know that name.
Eberline. Ben's going to be joining us. And yeah, Ben, of course, worked with the United Way for a long time. Mm-hmm. Joined us with them. And now he's going to be with us as their new human development and relationships educator. And could not have a better person take that job over.
To take Jackie's place. Yeah, that's really cool.
It's very fitting. And he's going to be incredibly
I'm sure he'll be doing a great job.
Looking forward to talking with Ben earlier, although I don't know how our chemistry will be. It'll be fine. It'll be great.
How many times?
It's going to be great. Yep. It's going to be awesome. And in part two, we get to hang out with our good friend Aaron Hess from the Southwood County YMCA.
Oh, more fun. Oh, great stuff today.
That's going to be a blast. Yep. And I wanted to wait until we could actually confirm this. Seth and I have a director's playhouse we're going to be interviewing a little bit later afterwards.
Yes, today.
Got a lot to
A lot on the plate today.
Yeah, so that's going to be fun. We got great Rafter baseball on the radio dial tonight, hoping the boys this summer can get into that win column. 6:20 start time as the Rafters host Green Bay. Going to be a good one down at the ballpark tonight. Got some fun special things going on. Find out more at northwoodsleague.com. And of course, if you can't make it to Winterfield, we've got you covered. We'll have the Rafters playing today on this station.
All right,
be listening for that. We also, Seth, want to get into a couple of other things. Just a note to our audience out there, the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties have their Stuff the Bus event going on right now. Have a number of different supply donation locations where you can drop items off at. One of them is here.
Right here.
Come over by to the studios, stop by, maybe, drop off some stuff for, if you have ideas or requests or any of those things. Yep. And certainly drop off items for the Stuff the Bus. You got plenty of other great places in almost anywhere where you're located, you'll find one.
And including something nearby,
Backpacks, notebooks, plain colors, folders, plain colors, markers, glue sticks, all of the above
we all the use. Stuff we need,
Drop them on off, everybody. And today is a Thursday, so of course, lunch by the river and Our market is open. Our farmer's market is
farmer's
open today.
Farmer's market is open today as well from 8 to 1. We've got lunch by the river from 11:30 to 1. So, I mean, you could do all kinds of stuff downtown today. Yeah. The weather is cooperating for now.
Head on over to the farmer's market, check that out, and then head right on over to lunch by the river going on 11:30 to 1 over at beautiful Veterans Memorial Park. And check out the Lincoln High School Mariachi Band.
Woo!
That's going to be a lot
of
fun. And our friends at Focus have their neighborhood meals available today. Those doors open at 4:15. The meals are served from 4:30 to 5:45 over at 2321 West Grand Avenue right here in Rapids. That Sparhawk Trucking Building, we send a shout out to Sparhawk for that. We appreciate them being a part of the community and sponsoring things like that, Seth. Wanted to mention as well something coming up that is important to our community and to our listeners out there. And
especially our veterans. They're going to be having a Veterans Expo coming up July 23rd. That is right after Heroes Cafe, by the way, at the Crossview Church. 1000 East Riverview Expressway, number 120. Join the Toma VA Medical Center and the Wood County Veterans Service Office as they have a list of all kinds of resources for veterans and their families. That's something we did touch on this Monday when Tom was in to talk about that. There's going to be a huge number of people there, different organizations to talk about all kinds of benefits and any kind of programs for veterans and their families. This is something, like we also touched on, changes all the time. So it's good to keep up on where all these things are. So we cannot encourage you enough to attend that coming up July 23rd. And this is put on, of course, by the VFW and the VVA Chapter 101 in Wisconsin Rapids here. So
a big thank you to everybody involved in that.
Yes.
And we'll talk more about it as we're leading up to it. Just like we will be talking about the Touch a Truck event. It is coming up with our good friends over at the Southwick County, at the Family Center.
Yeah.
They're going to be hosting their Touch a Truck event, the fifth annual, over the Grand Rapids Lions Club. That's coming up July 26th, 11 to 3. It's going to be a free event, going to be a lot of fun. They're going to have vehicles of all types, kids' games, food, raffles, all kinds of cool stuff. A shout out to the Grand Rapids Lions Club for hosting this like they do. And, of course, our great friends at the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center doing such amazing work.
Yes.
The Touch a Truck
important
event
work
coming up. July 26th, mark your calendar for that fifth annual. That's awesome.
I know they've been, I can't believe it. Five years they've been doing that now.
Didn't realize it's been
no.
Fine. Michigan State Police shared footage of a helicopter crew finding an 83-year-old woman in a swamp on Tuesday.
Oh, no.
She has dementia and wandered off. They found her about a mile away from her home, and she is okay now. Part of the reason I'm telling this story is, of course, the good part of it.
Yep.
A shout out to the Michigan State Police Department for that and the drones. You know,
again, a good story with drones. Yeah, that's good stuff.
It's amazing. Now, I actually don't think that the drone, now the drone footage helped a little bit, but it was just, you know, like people finding her this time. And I think that's just as noteworthy as when a drone does it. And a 29-year-old woman in Miami was driving to Wendy's last month when she saw a 97-year-old lady walking down the street, picked her up and bought her lunch. A video she posted blew up online and ended up changing the lady's life. She needed a new walker and help with her bills. People have now donated over $20,000 to her GoFundMe page.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
Amazing.
What a great story.
Great people out there.
Yeah.
Great show today. Be good to each other out there, everybody.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The search effort goes on along the Guadalupe River in central Texas. More than 170 still unaccounted for after flooding. Kerrville Police Officer Jonathan Lamb.
If family members had reported a loved one missing and they've returned safely, we ask that you notify us.
In Los Angeles, Mayor Karen Bass hails the work that got more than two dozen construction workers free and to safety after an industrial tunnel collapse.
I was so concerned that we were going to find tragedy. Instead, what we found was victory.
Overseas, CBS's Vicky Barker in London reports wildfires are a major story in many European countries.
Firefighters in the French city of Marseille spray water on the smoldering ashes of a house.
Moi, je n'ai plus de terrasse.
My terrace and my kitchen are gone, this woman says. More than 100 people have been injured in that fire, with others blazing in France, Spain, Greece.
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday.